Hello and welcome to Undivided. Thank you for being here. Thank you for your commitment to giving common sense a comeback. Welcome to this Thursday, a beautiful day in the Pacific Northwest, if you're blessed enough to be here. We're going to get to several stories. One really sad. A baby in Snohomish County has overdosed. The suspected reason is because of an exposure to fentanyl. And it just, I think, really speaks to the true depth of this crisis and the innocent victims of this crisis. And there is a call from the sheriff in Snohomish County for people who are upset by this to do something about it, which is really important. We'll, of course, talk about the Trump CNN town hall. And how CNN completely lost control of it. And, you know, Caitlin Collins, man, I feel bad for Caitlin Collins, kind of. But Trump also was kind of a jerk during the town hall, so we'll discuss all of the above. And in Unbelievable Today, man, the homeless industrial complex gone wild. There was this insane video about, and we'll detail it later, but basically defending a sex offender who they want to add to one of these many, many boards who deals with homelessness. And I don't know if I've ever seen a crazier video than this when it comes to a government meeting. Absolutely wild. But before we dive into our top stories today, I do want to tease ahead to our Sunday show, which is exclusive to subscribers. On Sundays with subscribers, we host in-depth conversations on issues that we've been talking about on the show. And one of them, of course, is 2024 and the fact that Republicans in Washington State, I think, are going to have a very hard time winning statewide elected office, certainly, or making serious inroads in the House and the Senate in Washington State. And I worry about their ability to disrupt one-party rule. Well, joining us on Sundays with subscribers this week is a Republican who knows what it's like to lose, but has maybe learned some lessons since her campaign for Senate. It is Tiffany Smiley. Anyone that you've heard of or seen that you think has the potential to win?
Hey, look, take it from me. Comes down to money. If you're a serious candidate, you will be out raising money. And it's going to take a lot of money to get, you know, the message across. I haven't seen anyone in the race that already has a strong brand or name ID across the state. So that's a hurdle, right, in and of itself. That requires a lot of money to get your name out and your message out. So I'll be watching for sure. But I think absolutely comes down to fundraising, your ability to raise the money, to be effective and show that you're really serious.
Well, there's also this internal struggle within the Republican Party about what kind of Republican candidates can win statewide office. And there's some who think that they need to double down and go further to the right. What kind of Republican do you think has the best chance of winning those high profile races?
I think the Republican that speaks directly to the people's needs and issues. And it's very clear what's going on. I mentioned it, you know, in my survey. It's the economy, it's crime. Go ahead talk about healthcare. I would love to see some solutions on healthcare, affordable housing. All of that is important. And I think the candidate that focuses on the issues that are directly affecting the people, and like partisan politics stuff, people are sick of that. They truly are. The reason that, even in our survey, that they believe government is the number one reason that our country is off track. Because they're sick and tired of the partisan politics. And nothing gets done. Nothing does change in their life.
So again, 2022 candidate for Senate Tiffany Smiley is going to be joining us on Sundays with subscribers. If you'd like to catch those episodes, sign up at undividedpod.com. That is undividedpod.com. It's an interesting conversation. Of course, yes, I asked her whether she is going to run for anything in 2024. So you'll have to watch and see her answer. Okay, let's get to just the latest tragic story when it comes to our drug crisis, which I think this story underscores the absolute frustration. I feel baffled at the fact that state lawmakers couldn't get together to recriminalize hard drug possession in our state. You know, it's not just the people using drugs who are impacted by it. Anyone with an ounce of common sense knows that. It's the people who are victimized by them when they're, you know, committing a crime to try to get money. It's people like a one-year-old in Mill Creek who has died, and officials believe that her death is tied to fentanyl exposure. This is the headline from Como News. CPS should have saved her. Family of baby who died from likely fentanyl exposure outraged. And look, they should be outraged, but each and every one of us should be outraged as well. The Snohomish County Sheriff's Office, according to this Como article, says that they found the unresponsive one-year-old was brought to Swedish Medical Center. This happened Sunday in the evening. The child was brought there by her mother, then taken to Seattle Children's, and she was pronounced dead. And so, again, the suspected cause is fentanyl. And this is heartbreaking. And I have to say, you know, I give a lot of credit to Sheriff Adam Fortney up in Snohomish County. I know we're going to reach out to him to try to get him on the show to talk about this. But, you know, he took to his Facebook page and he essentially said, look, if you're angry by this, there is something that you can do. He said, I'm seeing a lot of people upset at the death of this one-year-old, and rightfully so. While this event alone is absolutely tragic, you have a chance to impact change in Snohomish County. As of July 1st, if nothing changes, all drugs are legal in Washington State. Snohomish County government is trying to keep this from happening by passing a local ordinance outlawing drugs such as fentanyl, meth, and heroin. He went on to write, please consider testifying next Wednesday, either virtually or in person, in support of the proposed ordinance. You can no longer assume this will pass without your involvement. He says, take 3 minutes out of your day and let our elected representatives know where the community stands on this issue. They need to hear it. And that's true not only for, you know, we've talked about this issue a lot, just a little bit of a refresher. You know, there's going to be a special session on the 16th, so next week, to try to come up with a statewide law regarding drug possession. If they don't, then starting July 1st, drug possession is de facto legalized in Washington State. So you have a lot of local entities rushing to try to put their own ordinance on the books in case that happens, so they have something they can enforce. And so what Sheriff Fortney is encouraging people to do is show up, speak. If you're outraged by the death of a baby, you know, take 3 minutes out of your day and let elected leaders know who are considering this ordinance how you feel about it. And then, you know, as a good measure before the May 16th special session, also reach out to Democrats in Olympia and let them know that you want a law on the books statewide that actually has some teeth to force people into treatment if they won't comply willingly. And by force, I, of course, mean if they're faced with jail time, I think that they're much more willing to say, yeah, I'll take treatment over jail time. So look, this is, and again, when I hear people like, oh my gosh, Monica Dingra, Senator Monica Dingra, who wants to be the attorney general, who wants to legalize drugs because she does not believe that drug possession or drug use should be a criminal justice matter, I would ask the senator, well, what happens when you have a mom who's hooked on fentanyl and it kills her little baby? What happens when that happens? Is that a criminal justice issue? Of course it is. There are so many negative consequences of substance abuse, and you cannot look at it on an island. Of course, you know, do we want people to get better? Of course we do. Nobody's saying, like, throw them in jail and lock away the key and never offer them any access to treatment. Nobody's saying that. But we all know that when you just recommend to someone who is in the depths of their addiction, oh, well, why don't you just get treatment? Of course they're not going to say yes. They're all screwed up on whatever drug they're taking. But if you give them a little moment of clarity, maybe in jail, or you present them with an option, either you go detox in a jail cell, a cold jail cell, or you go get treatment, I think that there's a much higher likelihood that people are going to get help. So honestly, shame on any elected leader in the state, but certainly in Olympia, who is still on this, oh, decriminalized drugs bandwagon. Shame on you. Not only drug users are dying, innocent people are dying, babies are dying, and that is on your hands. It just same way I talked about the Pursuit Bill and people who are being victimized by individuals who don't stop for law enforcement. That is on your hands. You've had every opportunity to fix these things. And you just resist because some of you are so pro-criminal. It's insane to me. Nicole, hi. How are you?
Hi, Brandy.
How are things?
I'm doing well. It's a great day. It's
beautiful outside.
Oh my
gosh, it's gorgeous outside. We're going to talk about the CNN town hall. Did you watch it?
I didn't watch the whole thing, no. I've just seen some cuts from it.
I'm curious, like, from a producer's standpoint, mm-hmm. What do you make of the arguments that CNN should not have, quote unquote, platformed Donald Trump in that way?
No, I mean, he's a presidential candidate. I get them going after him. I actually think, I know you wouldn't be a fan of him coming on this show, but I think, why would you not?
He's a presidential candidate. We'd have him on the show. I don't think he'd like me very much. But that's okay.
He's used to that. Yeah. I don't think he's afraid of that.
No.
So that's the thing. And I think that it doesn't have to go the way that it sometimes goes, because people go in with an agenda to try to make him look bad.
Yeah.
And just let him do it himself if he's gonna, right? So why do you have to – you don't have to go in to try to make him look bad.
Yeah, and I'll talk about this. We'll play a couple clips or whatever, but I also disagree with the narrative that they shouldn't platform him. Now, I don't know that you need a full town hall dedicated to him this – you know, this far out from the 2024 election. That's just an overall grievance. Like, can we give Americans a little freaking break from this stuff? The timing was unfortunate for CNN with the E. Jean Carroll case coming down.
Oh, I think they did that on purpose, though.
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, all of this is very...
It's ratings driven. 100%. Yes. CNN's best ratings have been during the Donald Trump years. Uh-huh. That's all this is. Now, a couple things that just bother me in general... And it goes back to, I mean, if I were to have Donald Trump here, I think you have to be a certain personality to effectively interview Donald Trump. And I think you have to kind of understand that he is going to want to be the star of the show. You know, he's going to try to make you look like a fool, try to make you look foolish.
I think if he gets that from you, right? He's not going to try to make you look like a fool if you're, not making him look like a fool, if you're not going in with that motivation.
Right. I think you have to kind of play with him and toy with him a little bit. I think you have to get on his level on those things. And I think he likes a challenge. And so I think if you can kind of match his energy, that's the best way probably. I mean, who knows? I could have him on, it could fail. But Caitlin Collins, to me, was a bad choice for CNN, because she already had a lot of history with the Trump administration. You know, they wanted to, like, seat her at the back and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I think she's too serious. I mean, I think Caitlin Collins is a fine journalist. I've watched some of her stuff on CNN. I don't think she's certainly nowhere, like, not somebody I'd spend my time railing against. Mm-hmm. But she's very serious. Like, she very rarely sort of steps outside that serious. And I just don't think that's the right person to interview Trump.
Right. I think that he comes in, and I have to say, I think he's a prepared interviewee. We had him on the show. He was, I have to say, like, we went in, he knew how much time we had until we went live, because we were taping right before we went live. He went through a tunnel. He's like, hey, we'll call you right back on the other side of the tunnel, because I'm going to lose you here. He was very, very skilled. And then he was like, okay, start from this point. Like, he doesn't go in, you know, willy-nilly, I'm just going to roll with it. Like, he knows what he's doing. People think that he doesn't know what he's doing, and that these things are all unplanned, and these moments are, you know, I mean, obviously he's responding to her, telling her she's nasty, whatever. But he's not new to being interviewed.
Well, he's
been
interviewed
for 40 years or 50 years.
Well, yeah, but when you say he's prepared, I think immediately to give good answers, which I never think his answers are very well thought out.
Well, that's a politician, right? That's a...
His are exceptionally winding and nonsensical.
Okay, but I think that's part of the plan.
Yeah.
I think that is.
That's possible.
And, you know, if he comes in knowing he's going to be asked about whatever topic, and he knows that he's going to make it a... You know, when we asked him about Kaepernick when he had first knelt for the anthem, him saying he should find a country that works better for him was obviously a thought-out plan, right?
I don't think so. I think that just comes to his head and just right out his mouth.
Maybe so, but he doesn't do it not knowing that it's going to, you know, take off.
He's intending to be entertaining. Yes. And so, again, let me just play these clips and I'll come out at the back end. So there's two clips in particular that, you know, have been criticized, and I will say I've never liked how Donald Trump spoke about women or to women, you know, from Megyn Kelly to the Access Hollywood tape, whatever. So he called Caitlin Collins nasty. Here's that.
Why you held on to those documents when you knew the federal government was seeking them and then had given you a subpoena to return them?
Are you ready? Are you ready? Can I talk?
Yeah, what's the answer?
Do you mind?
I would like for you to answer the question.
Okay, it's very simple to answer.
That's why I asked it.
It's very simple. You're a nasty person, I'll tell you.
And the second one, gosh. And the second one was, of course, the E. Jean Carroll ruling came down, where he was found liable in a civil case by a jury for sex abuse and defamation going back like 30 years. And he rightfully should have an opportunity to respond to those allegations. And Caitlin Collins asked him about it, and he continued to deny it. And then he inserted an insult against the woman at the end.
This woman, I don't know her. I never met her. I have no idea who she is. I had a picture taken years ago with her and her husband, nice guy, John Johnson. He was a newscaster, very nice man. She called him an ape. Happens to be African-American. Called him an ape. The judge wouldn't allow us to put that in. Her dog or her cat was named Vagina. The judge wouldn't allow to put that in. All of these things. But with her, they could put in anything. Access,
this
Hollywood,
put in
anything.
This is a jury of nine people who found you liable of sexual abuse. Do you think that will deter women from voting for you?
No, I don't think so, because I think the whole thing, just so you understand, ready? I never met this woman. I never saw this woman. This woman said, I met her at the front door of Bergdorf Goodman, which I rarely go into other than for a couple of charities. I met her in the front door. She was about 60 years old then. This is like 22, 23 years ago. I met her in the front door of Bergdorf Goodman. I was immediately attracted to her, and she was immediately attracted to me. And we had this great chemistry. We're walking into a crowded department store. We had this great chemistry, and a few minutes later, we end up in a room, a dressing room, of Bergdorf Goodman, right near the cash register. And then she found out there are locks on the door, so she said, I found one that was open. She found one. She learned this at trial. She found one that was open. What kind of a woman meets somebody and brings them up, and within minutes, you're playing hanky-panky in a dressing room, okay? I don't know if she was married then or not. John Johnson, I feel sorry for you, John Johnson.
Mr. President, can I...
So, okay. And look, he has every right to respond, but you hear, and one of the things that really stuck out to me and what I don't get from a CNN perspective is what they expected, because clearly the audience liked Donald Trump.
That was surprising to me.
They were
that
applauding,
they found an
they're
audience
laughing.
That liked them. Right.
And
although when you hear the story like that, it is more amusing than the way that she's telling it, right? So let's say he said, she said type of
thing. That's just how he is, right? He's like there to be an entertainer, but I don't think CNN really thought that through. The other thing is, and we'll move on from this, but the other thing is this was supposed to be a Republican presidential town hall. And Caitlin Collins asked a bunch of questions that Republicans, about issues Republicans don't care about.
Right.
And so in that sense, CNN was not true at all to what it was supposed to be. This was just like a chance to try to pin down Donald Trump and get ratings. Mm-hmm. If it was a Republican presidential town hall, you'd be asking him questions about what differentiates him from other Republicans and about issues that Republicans care about.
Right.
So clearly CNN's intent with the town hall was not pure at all. I don't feel bad for CNN. I had to laugh though, because all night and all morning, there have been trending hashtags on Twitter, boycott CNN. CNN is done.
Over I'm like, this?
I'm like, well, it's like from the left who's like outraged that Trump was even on. And I'm like, boycott CNN? Like, we've all been boycotting CNN for like 6 years. So I just find it funny that CNN thought, it's about ratings. I just don't know what else it could be about. But I don't think it was particularly good for CNN. I do think it was good for Donald Trump.
Yeah. If that's what they wanted to do, was give him some attention. Because nothing ends up being bad press for him. That's the thing, is people think that there's going to be, you know, I mean, he's had all the bad press he can get, and
yeah,
he's still here.
Yeah, I did Fox and Friends first again at 1 a.m. and they asked me about, you know, whether Donald Trump did a good job appealing to independents and Democrats. First of all, Donald Trump's never going to appeal to Democrats.
No.
But I was like, I said, I'm an independent and a CNN town hall is not going to change my opinion of Donald Trump. And I don't think really at this point, to your point, that anybody is going to really drastically change their opinion of Donald Trump at this point.
No, but I think that, as I mentioned, he's a presidential candidate and you take him when you can take him, because that's the business. But this early on and right after this case, and I mean, you're doing it for ratings and you're doing it for attention, and
yeah,
it backfired.
And you got attention. It just wasn't the kind you wanted.
Not really.
All right. Interesting stuff. Nicole, thank you. You're a nasty woman. Nasty woman could be a compliment. Like, you're a nasty woman. I don't think that's how Trump meant it, though. All right. Coming up next, you will not believe this freaking video. It's from our friend Ari Hoffman. There was a meeting at the King County Regional Homelessness Authority, and you will not believe the absolute children who are being tasked with fixing the worst crisis in Washington state. It's unbelievable. But first, we've been talking about one of our newest sponsors on the podcast, Wes Jones of Wes Jones & Associates. If you are thinking about selling your home, I asked Wes Jones about how their process of selling your home differs from that of a traditional real estate agent.
We have programs in place to help you prep your home. We can help cover your repairs and even cosmetic upgrades, where you can pay for those at the, you know, at the closing table. We have a flexible commission structure. We have the absolute best marketing that you're going to find of any real estate agent. And there is a lot of programs and different things that we do that I go pretty in depth with on my website. So you can start by going to sellwithwes.com and go to the sell a house feature, and you can got to go under some of the different programs, you know, that we have to learn a little bit more. If you want to check out your home's value, just plug in your, you know, your address there. And if you want to book a consultation with me, just give me a, you know, just give me a call. My cell phone is there on the website, and you know, it's super low pressure. You know, I'm going to tell you the truth if this makes sense, you know, or it doesn't for you, and I'm going to treat you fairly.
Yeah, so if you are in the market to sell your home, visit sellwithwes.com. That's sellwithwes.com. Use their home value calculator. Reach out to Wes. As he said, his cell phone's there. Brave man, Wes Jones. But I think that just shows his commitment to good service and being available for you if you need him. So sellwithwes.com, a better way to sell your home. Okay, wow, I got a doozy for you today. Big thank you to our friend Ari Hoffman over at KVI for finding this video and watching this meeting so we didn't have to. Let's get to it in our segment, Unbelievable. Oh, man. Okay, so obviously we have a homeless crisis, and we have this thing called the King County Regional Homelessness Authority that we were sold as like the fix-all regional response to our homeless crisis, and it was going to do good in every step of the way. They've just faltered and failed. There was a Seattle Times article the other day, the King County Regional Homelessness Authority isn't even like paying out contracts on time, which is risking even having service providers who want to work with them. It's a mess. We've also talked about how these organizations in the city of Seattle, when they look at who are they going to choose to lead efforts to solve this deep, deep crisis in our communities, they're obsessed with identity. Like, I swear they won't put someone on these panels unless they're transgender, a person of color, or have the right kind of quote-unquote lived experience. And that is never more true than in the video that we're about to show you. But first, a little bit of background. So the meeting that we're going to play a clip from was a meeting of the King County Regional Homelessness Authority's Continuum of Care Board. So the voice that you're going to hear predominantly in the video is the co-chair of the board, Shaney Colston. Okay, so they're going through and they're confirming nominations to this board that, again, is going to look at helping homeless people through the process of, you know, being from homeless to housed. So the nomination that they're about to take up is the nomination of a man named Thomas Whitaker Raven Crowfoot. Now, they say that Thomas Whitaker Raven Crowfoot has a lot of lived experience, and apparently one of those is being a pedophile and a sex offender. And look, you know, if you've did the crime and you've done the time, like, certainly move on with your life. But a little information on what this Thomas fellow was convicted of, according to Ari Hoffman, in 2012, he was charged with raping a minor in a case involving a 15-year-old girl. He pled guilty to a lesser crime of communicating with a minor for immoral purposes. And then Ari says Seattle police found Whitaker living in a tent with a 17-year-old in 2018. So obviously didn't learn about I don't know how to put that lightly, not doing inappropriate things with minor women. So anyway, fast forward, it's 2023, and his name pops up on this list of people who could be nominated to serve on this board for the King County Regional Homelessness Authority. Except one person handling these nominations, and you'll hear her chime in, has an issue with this nomination because she says that Whitaker made her feel incredibly uncomfortable, and thus she has an issue with the nomination. I'll warn you, the audio quality is not great, especially when the screaming starts, because there is going to be screaming. But I just want you to listen to this full clip, again, of the co-chair, Shani Colston, yelling at this member who objected to a sex offender who made her uncomfortable being on this board. Watch.
Next is Raven Crawford, lived experience, emergency food and shelter board, representation of LGBTQIA2S+, American Indian, Alaska Native, Indigenous communities in chronic homelessness and domestic violence.
Yatta hey, I second.
Yeah.
All in favor? Thank you.
Aye.
Any abstentions? Stina and Liz both abstain. And then are there any no's? All right. Next is Zsa Zsa Floyd, lived experience. And that was the wrong. What was the name of the membership? Sorry, Eli, what was the correction?
Homeless
Community Advisory Group.
Thank you.
Can I say something? We have a code of ethics on this board, and Thomas Whitaker Raven Crowfoot is a sex offender, a repeat sex offender, and I have had bad experience with him.
So I don't touch you up because we can't disclose people's personal business here, right?
Okay.
And although that's public disclosure, like, we have no right to out anybody in this space.
Okay. I thought,
that's just not okay at all.
Okay.
And I won't stand for that as a co-chair.
No, we're
not
here
to discover people's backgrounds. And actually, I'm glad that if that is the case, that he's here. Because sex offenders are another population that is most vulnerable that don't have housing.
Okay.
People do change, and people don't
have recovery. He has touched me. She has touched me. So if there's a meeting where he's at,
Christina, you need to take this to the police then. Christina?
I have.
This is not the forum.
Stop, Christy, stop. As the co-chair, I'm telling you that you cannot talk like that in this meeting. I will not have that here. If anyone wants to talk like that, you will be muted and then removed from this meeting, board member or public or not. This is about equity. And everyone deserves housing. I don't care if they're a sex offender. I don't care if they're Black. I don't care if they're Indigenous. I don't care if they're a criminal. I don't care if they're coming out of jail, prison. Everyone deserves housing.
Okay, Shanae, we got you.
No, it's not okay. That's the point. And so when we talk about a code of ethics here at the CLC board, we will be respectful of all people, all inclusivity. Everybody's here for the same reason, to end homelessness, because we've all been there. And it sucks, and it's a shitty place to be. But we are all human at the end, and we all deserve housing. It is a human right. It doesn't matter your background, your religion, your creed, your sexual orientation. I don't care about none of that, and nobody here should either. What we all care about is ending homelessness.
Shanae, we need to move on.
No, I'm telling you, I'm not moving on as the co-chair. I'm letting you know our code of ethics is that this is an inclusive space, and we are equitable to all.
I agree. Totally.
And that's not in disagreement.
Nobody's disagreeing with that, but we do need to move on. This is not the forum to debate that.
I need you to stop telling me what to do.
Okay.
No, I'm part of this committee.
I get that, but I don't need your
I know.
Comments.
I hear you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Let's move on. Zsa Zsa is who we were on.
We were on Raven Crowfoot.
For eyes.
Did we approve Raven Crowfoot?
Raven Crowfoot was approved. We were on Zsa Zsa.
Thank you.
That is insane. That is, I'm sorry, actually, that you had to also watch that, but I knew you'd want to see it. Those are the people who are going to fix the homeless crisis. That one person is clearly unstable. And to say to this woman who says, hey, he touched me, and he's a sex offender, so if he's on the board, I'm not going to be at the meetings, and to have her treated the way she was treated for speaking up, and then this individual spends 2 minutes supporting this sex offender against the woman who says, hey, he touched me inappropriately. And they're supporting him because he brings important lived experience as a sex offender. And also in this whole lived experience thing about putting homeless people on the board, like, are they still homeless? Because if they haven't figured out how to get themselves out of homelessness, I don't think that they should be on a board that's goal is to get other people out of homelessness. But again, this is one of the key issues with identity. When you're assigning people to these important positions that are supposed to, again, within the homeless industrial complex, supposed to make sense of this crisis that we're in, and you're doing it solely based on identity, and they've got this list that they're going through in these nominations, and it's fascinating to me because the whole list of nominees, it lists things that really don't have anything to do with their expertise on this issue. They're, you know, listed representation, LGBTQIA2S+, American Indian, Alaska Native, Indigenous. Okay. What does that have to do with their ability to try to help homeless individuals and help end this crisis? Literally nothing. And the fact that everyone else on this meeting, when this Shaney Colston was losing their mind like a child, the fact that you had other people in the meeting who were like, oh, okay, we get it. Yeah, we don't do that here. We don't discriminate. We don't out someone as a sex offender. If this is insane, how do you even make sense of this? Seattle is a parody. Seattle is a parody. That could have been like a Babylon Bee SNL skit. It's insane. And I'm sorry, reasonable, rational people have to push back against that and be like, we cannot allow someone with that temperament to be in charge of trying to fix the homeless crisis. And no, if there's a two-time sex offender who allegedly touched another woman who's going to work on this board and made her uncomfortable, no, he should not be on the board. That's absolutely ridiculous. She even said she'd already reached out to police about it. Come on. Absolutely unbelievable. But frankly, nothing in Seattle is unbelievable to me anymore. Ridiculous. All right, we'll have Florida Report with Miranda coming up momentarily, talk about some things happening in the Sunshine State. But first, I'm inviting you to take the First Mark Challenge, like my fiance and I did, to find out whether you are well insured for what you have or whether you're paying too much for the insurance that you have. So firstmarkinsurance.com, and it's really simple. It doesn't cost you anything, just a little bit of your time to have First Mark Insurance go over your current coverage and then come up with their recommendations for what kind of coverage you need. And you never pay First Mark Insurance anything for this service, which is wonderful. It's like an insurance concierge. The CEO of First Mark, Dave Taylor, talked to us a little bit about the First Mark process and how even if you eventually don't use First Mark to help you with your insurance needs, you'll still come away with something.
We believe and we say that we will help 100% of the people that we work with. Okay. Now that doesn't mean necessarily that 100% of the people we work with are going to become First Mark clients, but we believe that we will actually help 100% of the people, whether that be stay with your current carrier, but let's modify your coverage a bit so you're better protected, or ultimately, hopefully come over to First Mark. We're going to put you with a different company and give you better coverage, right? So the challenge is really challenging individuals to give us an opportunity to prove that to them. That's really what the First Mark challenge is.
Yeah, and Mike and I gave Dave the opportunity to prove that to us, and we learned a lot, and we became members of the First Mark family. So as of May 1st, Mike and I get all our insurance needs through First Mark, and what we found out in the process of the First Mark challenge is that we were way, way undercovered. And that's scary because we work hard for what we have, and so we want to make sure it's properly protected. So we got way more coverage for about the same price, so it was a no-brainer for us. So take the First Mark challenge, firstmarkinsurance.com. That's firstmarkinsurance.com. Make sure to tell them that you heard about them on the Undivided podcast. All right, it is Thursday. That means we check in on what's happening all the way across the country in the Sunshine State. It is our segment, Florida Report.
It's not even controversial anymore. People know in Florida their freedoms are going to be respected.
Miranda, hello.
Hello.
There was an interesting story out of Florida that, you know, Ron DeSantis has been going, I think, a little far with the culture wars, as you and I have discussed.
Yeah.
But he had pushed back against some language in social studies textbooks, and it seems like some of the publishers of those textbooks have relented.
Yeah, they finally got back to the Department of Education with some revised versions of specific social studies books. They finally accepted 66 out of 101 books that were presented to the Florida Department of Education. A lot of the reasons that the books were sent back for tweaking were different things that were basically revolved around political indoctrination. One of the books had mentioned, a middle school book had talked about the George Floyd incident. Some of the other books just kind of were asking parents to talk to kids about the George Floyd incident and Black Lives Matter. So the publishers tweaked, and by tweaked, it means removed some of these topics from these books, and they were finally accepted into the curriculum this past week.
Yeah, and it's interesting because I'd like to kind of read through how all these references work, but again, it's political indoctrination, according to Ron DeSantis and to the education commissioner, because one of the other things that was discussed was a lesson, according to Politico, urging parents to speak with their children about kneeling during the national anthem as a symbol representing America. So it's just weird shit where it's like, do you need to include that as part of an education? Like, if parents want to talk to their kids about the national anthem and kneeling, can't you just leave that to parents to discuss? So I do understand that aspect of it.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, the education commissioner, Manny Diaz, had said, to uphold our exceptional standards, we must ensure our students and teachers have the highest quality materials available, materials that focus on historical facts and are free from inaccuracies or ideological rhetoric. So
seems reasonable enough. But again, I mean, there's a lot of books involved here. And so I'm not going to lie and say I've read every single passage of what they wanted to change and what it's changed to. But I think education, it's like, you can, it's okay to leave some things out. I think we've tried to include too many things in a public education that are things that parents can teach their kids. You know, like, let's stick to the basics in school.
Absolutely.
Also interesting news out of Florida. Democrats are trying to woo some NBA legends to run for public office.
Yeah, some Democratic donors are hoping to recruit NBA legends Grant Hill and Dwayne Wade to run for Senate, basically in an attempt to get some more popular names out there to make sure Rick Scott doesn't win next election cycle. I think they're reaching. I've never really heard either of those two people talk about wanting to get involved in politics. And it doesn't seem like this is the actual Democratic Party itself that's reaching out to them, but it's a lot of the donors and people that are financially supporting the Democrats. They're trying to gain a little more control over Florida with some celebrities.
Win the next generation. Now, this might be a really ignorant question. Nicole, you might end up having to Google this for me, although I'm sure Nicole will know. Isn't Dwayne Wade still playing basketball? See, Nicole didn't know either. Miranda, do you know?
No, I don't think so. I'm not a big sports person, to be honest with you, but I don't think that Dwayne Wade's playing anymore.
Nicole's gonna, she's over there Googling.
I think he's too old, but let me see. I mean, not too old, but I think he's...
I can't let you go, Miranda, until we settle this. People on the live chat...
No, it's fine. I should
like,
know because I literally live like a few miles from Miami Heat.
Go to Wikipedia. Does it say he's a current player? Hold on. We're literally pausing the show until we figure this out. Because if he's... I don't remember him retiring.
Former professional basketball.
Okay. Thank you, Nicole.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I guess then, that makes sense. So, I mean, it's interesting because, like, I think when you're that wealthy and that famous, like, why would Dwayne Wade want to go to Congress?
Yeah. And also, this kind of just all... to me, it also kind of is like, the Democrats kind of laying all their cards out and be like, well, we got nobody else. So let's just reach into the celebrity pool and see who we can pull out of it, which kind of sucks. I mean, there's got to be some really well-qualified politicians, both Democrat and Republican, that they should be putting a little bit more focus on. But we'll see if either of these people actually take any interest in the offer when the time comes.
Nicole, did you have something to add?
Well, you might have said it, but he has a transgender daughter and he's gotten very involved because they left Florida because of it.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Learning all sorts of things about Dwayne Wade. Well, that's interesting. Well, I don't know. Miranda, we will see. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome.
It's not even controversial anymore. People know in Florida their freedoms are going to be respected.
Meow. Senator Dwayne Wade. Look, guys, I don't know about basketball. I don't know who's in and who's out. I'm just an old lady. All right, coming up, we're going to take your questions about things. And I want to read some comments about Ali's interview yesterday, too, with the border crisis, just because I thought it was really, really informative. And man, I worry about that young woman. Is she older than me? I worry about that woman. She's down there doing the dangerous stuff. But first, EastsideWeightLossClinic.com, EastsideWeightLossClinic.com. I'm down more than 30 pounds since I started the program. I've heard from so many of you who have also started the Eastside Weight Loss Clinic program since I started doing ads for them in January. And we're all just, you know, I need to add up all the weight lost by all the undivided viewers and listeners, because I bet the number is super high. And we're all just looking lean and mean and feeling great. And it's not too late for you, too. If you, like me, maybe put on a little bit of weight during the pandemic, 42 pounds worth, I lost most of the weight in 2 months. And so if you want to get in shape before summer or just drop some excess weight, you still have plenty of time. So schedule a free 15-minute consultation with Dr. Ryan Coogan, who's awesome. You'll love him, at EastsideWeightLossClinic.com. Just go to EastsideWeightLossClinic.com. There's a little thing where you hit up the calendar, you schedule 15 minutes, but make sure when you do that, you tell them you heard about them on Undivided with me, Brandy Cruz. But yeah, just 15 minutes to figure out whether the program is right for you. And you can get started right away and be looking good, feeling good by summer. I mean, you already look good. Let's be honest. It's about feeling good, right? Okay. All right. Nicole, you want to join me for some questions, comments from the live stream? Okay. Anna says, we're talking about the state of news media and CNN and all of that. Anna says, that's why I quit watching all mainstream news. Not worth my time. You're my go-to gal. Thank you. You and Dory. God bless his soul. Thank you, Brandy Cruz. Oh, that's nice. I know, like I was saying this week, with all the entries into the 2024 race, I'm constantly thinking about what Dory would have to say about, like, Monica Dingra and Bob Ferguson.
Ugh.
It would be fun to watch.
It would be.
Okay. Reagan says on the show, I'd label myself as very conservative, but I love your show. I don't mind that we disagree on some of the nuances, and that's good. That's healthy. We generally agree, and I trust that you're being honest, even if you're given an opinion that I may or may not agree with. I really appreciate that. And yeah, we had a woman in the studio the other day who was saying that, I mean, we disagree on some very serious things, mm-hmm. and it didn't bother her. And I really love that. I value that a lot. Okay, H on Patreon writes, on $55.99, which we continue to talk about a lot, and in fact, we'll have an interesting interview for you on that next week, Nicole?
I think so.
Why do you always talk so far away from the microphone?
Oh my gosh.
I'm going to shame you.
I'm just inches away.
No, it needs to be closer. I'm going to shame you on the live show so that you remember to talk into it.
Well,
you
I'm don't talking have into
a,
it, but it's a little bit
You don't have a very
long.
Loud voice.
Okay.
You're very... You know, you talk quiet.
Okay, I'll work on it.
Okay, good. Nicole's like, why do you always shame me on the live show? If I shame you during the live show, you'll remember next time.
I'll try.
Okay, good. sorry, Nicole.
You're fine.
I love you. Okay, H says on Patreon, thank you for being a Patreon subscriber. I appreciate you. $55.99 to protect children while 1-year-old just died in Snohomish County from fentanyl exposure. Where are the bill's laws protecting these children? Yeah, I could not agree more. Mm-hmm. And we've said that before. I hate to laugh, but it's like, it's so backward. I mean, all these criminal safety issues, and you know, we talked about the kids who were hit by the guy who stole the landscaping truck, and one of them was killed walking home from a sleepover, innocent lives because of the police pursuit law. Mm-hmm. And then on the other hand, they're like, we got to protect trans kids from their parents. No, we need to protect kids from you and your terrible public safety policies.
Yes. And this child dying of this is the extreme, obviously, but there are, I know of
a few different situations where CPS has been called because kids are in positions just like this one-year-old was, and they're not, they're still there.
Yeah.
And multiple people have called, multiple people have tried to help these kids, and I get it, you want to keep them with their parents, but if their parents are making terrible decisions like that, these are the parents that you protect kids from, not the ones trying to help them work through some right. of childhood decisions.
It's insane. It's so wild. Backward. Okay, a few things on the border crisis and Allie's interview yesterday. Sorry. Candy writes, freedom depends on law and order. We have to have law and order to ensure freedom that respects the rights of others who are also respecting the rights of others. The border crisis has been ignored by the current administration until now. It's like ignoring a cancer, hoping it will get better over time. Now it's stage 4 and the treatment options are risky and severe. Man, that's a good comment.
It really is.
Candy nailed it. That's so true. And we talked with Allie about that. It's like, now they're all like, oh, surge troops to the border. I was like, they should have been there. Yeah. It's insane. E writes, we should have the National Guard down there, which we do now, and we should have the people that came here legally in Border Patrol. This isn't a humanitarian issue. It's human slavery, and we're enabling it. A lot of the times it is. Mm-hmm. And by enabling the flow so easily of all these people, you don't know what you're facilitating that the drug cartel, the Mexican cartel are doing, including human trafficking. Great point. We are a country of legal immigrants because everyone had to be checked in even 200 years ago. Anything before 200 years ago, human history is pillage and steal. We cannot change that. We can only go forward. 100%. This is common sense stuff, people. And you get it.
Look at that. Our smart listeners.
Of course we have smart listeners.
I know. Of course.
Of course.
But if you're not smart, that's okay too. You can come listen.
Are you going to judge who's smart and who's not? Nicole will let you know in the comments if she finds your comments smart or not. Jim writes on YouTube of Trump. Trump's mouth cost him a lot. I agree with his policy, but not his mouth.
It's very summed up very nicely right there.
And
I think that's the majority of America right there.
Yeah, I do realize there are people who can look past his personal flaws because of his policies.
Yes.
And I know people are going to be like, could you really vote for Biden? I wouldn't vote for Biden.
Well, Trump's mouth doesn't affect me, right? His policies do and Biden's policies do. So I think that that's why people look past it, because they're like, well, what actually affects me? And it's not his mouth.
That's a very selfish way of thinking. I think that his mouth affects America.
I'm not picking the candidate. I'm not picking the candidate. Would I pick a better candidate? Yes, absolutely.
Well, this is a good transition into our closing sanity check, because it is going to be about...
Of course it is.
...Mr. Trump.
Of course it is.
Hey, let me have my sanity check, okay? It's not what you think it is. Let's get to our closing sanity check of the day. My closing sanity check is, don't let Donald Trump steal your happiness, okay? Don't let the 2024 presidential cycle, which apparently has already begun in earnest, steal your happiness. And just because I don't like Donald Trump doesn't mean that you can't like Donald Trump, okay? But I worry sometimes about getting wrapped up in these never-ending political cycles and what it does to our mental health and well-being. And sometimes you just need to walk outside and take in a deep breath of fresh air and forget about CNN and forget about Donald Trump and forget about me.
You could say the same about Ferguson running. I've heard from a lot of people who are very upset, and as are we. Am I going to let it ruin my day, my week, my year, my, 2024?
No,
you can't.
Well,
you can't live like that, people.
It might ruin my 2024. I'm not going to let it ruin my 2023, too.
Okay.
I'm not going to give him 2 years of anger.
Fair. Well, I think it's more likely to
want
to ruin your 2025 when he actually gets in office.
Yes. So you know what? We can have these debates. And look, this is a show where we talk about politics. But I'll tell you what. When I go home at the end of the night, you know what I turn on? Trash TV. And I pet my dogs. And I hang out with my fiance. And I put it out of my brain for a little bit. So it's important. I appreciate you watching the show, loving the show. I like that you're in tune with politics. I like that you're smart, as Nicole said. All those things are great. Just make sure you take some time to bifurcate yourself from the political atmosphere every once in a while so you can keep your sanity intact. All right, that's it for today's episode of Undivided, our last live episode of the week. For subscribers, I will see you on Sunday for our weekly edition of Sundays with Subscribers. Remember, we'll have Tiffany Smiley on the show for an important conversation about the state of politics and what she's trying to do to get political outsiders to run for Congress. If you have not become a subscriber already, I'd love to have you join us. It's as little as $5 a month. Go to undividedpod.com. That's undividedpod.com. It's your one-stop shop for all things Undivided. You can watch, figure out where to watch videos. You can figure out where to listen to the podcast. You can send Nicole and I a hot news lead or just compliments. We always love compliments. And most importantly, you can figure out how to become a subscriber to the show. Undividedpod.com, undividedpod.com. I'll see you subscribers on Sunday, and the rest of you, I'll see you on the live show on Monday.